how Penn State's undefeated. I'm not going to talk about how the Eagles won on Sunday. And we're not going to talk about our Phillies. I'm here to talk about perceptual mapping. Have any of you ever heard of perceptual mapping? Perfect. This is right where I was last year at APHA in D.C. Any of you from a Ryan White program? Know of Ryan White programs? Okay, good. I know who I'm talking to. All right. Thanks. I have nothing to disclose. Sorry. All right, a little bit of background. I'm from the Philadelphia Department of Public Health. I'm from the AIDS Activities Coordinating Office. We are the grantee for the EMA's Part A, the local administrator for Part B. We are a 9-county, 2-state EMA. We put about $7 million a year into case management. We are by far the largest payer for case management. We're the 5th largest city in the country. And specifically around case management, we have about 138 case managers and supervisors, greater than 75% of which carry caseloads, so it's predominantly actual case managers. We use a brokerage model. We contract out the services to about 28 agencies, serve about 6,600 folks a year for case management. In reference, we're about 10,000 infected people getting a Ryan White medical visit a year, so not everybody gets case management that's getting a medical service through us. And our case managers have to have a minimum of a bachelor's degree in a related field. We have a training program that does annual CEU requirements, and we have established standards of care, performance measures, and outcomes. So we're a pretty decently established case management provider. Next, please. For folks out there that are Ryan White funded, you know about 2 years ago came along the Ryan White Treatment Modernization Act. During that act, they defined medical case management. And when they defined medical case management, they set the goal for case management, medical case management, and it was to get people into medical care, keep them there, and do treatment adherence. And at the time, our system for case management wasn't quite there. We were pretty well established, as I said earlier, but we didn't meet all of those goals. So we knew we were going to have to do some program development for our case management. And next slide, please. We were very interested in finding out some specific things from our case managers. They are the core of our case management system. And you may want to say we wanted to get inside their heads and figure out where they were with some of these topics, how they felt about the medical providers. Do they think they were knowledgeable at HIV? Were they empathetic to the clients? What the clients wanted from their case managers, how much they wanted them to be involved in the medical care, how much the case managers wanted to be involved in their clients' medical care. And then one of the very hot issues lately, I think it's one of the more sexier issues in public health, is health literacy. We wanted to know where the case managers felt around health literacy. So next slide, please. As I said, we wanted to get inside their heads. And we'd done surveys in the past, and you do these on a scale from 0 to 10. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? And we ended up with a lot of frequencies. But we really weren't understanding the mental associations that the case managers were making between those elements or how they were relating those elements to themselves. So fast forward to last year at APHA, my boss went to a presentation where a guy got up and talked about perceptual mapping. And this is a concept that's very well known in marketing. It's been around for about 50 years. It was developed by a statistician and a psychiatrist or psychologist. And the very rudimentary software to produce these maps was developed in the 50s. And it's only probably within the last 6 years that it's actually been used in health. And it just so happened that the guy that was presenting at APHA is about a mile up the road from us at Temple University. Is that crazy that we had to go all the way to D.C. to find somebody that's a mile away from us doing something very innovative that we can apply to the work we do? It's one of these no-brainers. I mean, hello. So We went back, we called up Tom Gordon up at Temple and his group, and we said, hey, we want to do a survey of our case managers because we need to develop our service. We need to make it more appropriate for our clients and also to meet the Ryan White Treatment Modernization Act. So we went ahead and we developed a NAMIS web-based survey. We happen to use SurveyMonkey. And in this survey, we did a series of questions that asked, to the extent that you agree or you disagree with a statement. We broke them down into the four domains that I listed earlier around perceptions of the clients, the medical providers, how the case managers felt they wanted to be involved with case management and health literacy. We got about an 84% response rate, which we were pretty excited about for only having the survey open for about 2 weeks. And this is where we went from there. The folks at Temple went ahead and they did this thing called perceptual mapping. I'm not going to get all heady and statistical on you. So basically what you do is you take these statements that are scaled from 0 to 10, you put them in the software, and they do these analysis where you figure out what items were held closer to the case manager and what items the case manager put further away from them. So being closer meant they held that view, and being further away meant they did not hold that view. In addition, the software is able to figure out the between item distances, and then you end up with these pretty cool maps. And in other words, I like to say we converted these concepts into mental associations. We were able to understand how the case managers saw these concepts and were able to see inside their mind. This is a little bit more beyond the statistics. You do these inter-item correlations. I have to tell you, quite honestly, you put the data into the software and the software kicks all this stuff out for you, so you don't have to worry about doing any of this stuff by hand. Next slide. And you get out these distance matrices. And we've all seen these in the backs of these things that we used to have. They were called atlases. We probably don't remember them anymore because we have Google Maps. But in the back of them, let's say you were living out in Tucson and you wanted to drive up to Philly for game 5 or game 6 tonight. You'd come over and you'd see that you'd have to drive 2,300 miles and you say, heck with that, I'll fly. And these are the core kind of things that we get in addition to the maps that I'm going to show you. So this can be a little bit of a difficult concept to understand. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use a very classic example in perceptual mapping. This was done back in the 70s, and since we're in the spirit of the election season, I thought this would be a great example to use, and I'm just going to do a quick layout for you. This study was published in 1976 by Barnett, Sirota, and Taylor in a communications journal. Just imagine back in 1974, we're talking about the northern suburbs of Detroit. At the time, it was 99% white and very, very Democratic. And during that time, although it was very heavily Democratic, in 1972, Nixon took the election with 63% of the votes, and he ushered in all of the Republican candidates. And we had two candidates running for congressman. We had this guy named Huber. He was very Republican. He was very big on not doing busing to achieve racial integration, and he was very much into limiting government. Then we had the challenger, who was a Democrat. His name was Blanchard, and he was a former DA, and that's pretty much all we knew about him. Next slide. Where's my little pointer here? All right, I'm just going to orient you to this is the first map that the folks did, the researchers did, and this blue background is the back of the cube. And you'll see these little things. I like to call them tails. They just kind of tell you where this point is fixed on the floor. And if we go to the next slide, I'm going to make it even easier. We're going to do a two-dimensional, although most of our maps come out in three-dimensional. So you see here, we got Blanchard over here. Remember, he was the Democrat. We have Huber here, which was the Republican. And we have the collective voter. They surveyed about 100 and some voters, And this is the collective response of all the voters. So they ended up here. And so what you can see from this initial slide is that Huber's all the way, or sorry, Blanchard is all the way over here, and Huber is actually closer to the voter. Next slide. So the researchers approached Blanchard. They had absolutely no stake in the election, and they said, "We want to help you out. We took a survey of all the voters, and this is what we've come out with." And it turns out that the voters don't know where you are in the space. And if you just emphasize that you're from the Democratic Party, now remember it was a pretty much of a Democratic region. So they said, if you focus on your message that you're a Democrat, next slide, and you also focus on law and order. Remember, he was a former DA. If you focus on these two simultaneously in your message, we hope that this will happen. Next slide. Remember back in geometry and physics how we did vectors? Very vaguely. We like to kind of put that out of our mind. I'm going to vaguely or lightly bring that back. If we were to do a vector between these two messages, we see that Blanchard would ideally move in this direction towards the voter. So what happened was Blanchard went out and he started talking about two things and two things simultaneously. And all he talked about was, I'm a former DA and I'm for law and order and I'm a Democrat. And what happened when they resurveyed the voters? They found that Blanchard was slightly closer. People still didn't know where he was in the space and everything kind of stayed the same. Next slide. 4 weeks later, they saw Blanchard was moving even closer to the voter. All he was talking about was, hey, I'm a Democrat. Hey, I'm for law and order. That's all he was talking about. And it's interesting that at the time, Huber was outspending Blanchard like nuts. Nothing like today's standards. But what Huber spent in the month of October for the elections was more than Blanchard had spent on the entire election. Next slide. This is about 7 days before the election. Blanchard is even closer to the voter than Huber is. Next slide. The researchers predicted that Blanchard was going to win the election by 54%. And it turned out that he actually won it by 57% of the vote. And it turns out that if they went back and they actually went through and they did the math, and if they figured out the strength of the message in these two vectors, they would have been within decimal points of the 57%. Next slide. All Huber did was he was talking about busing. Then Huber was talking about, next slide, law and order. So all he kept doing was, sorry, this is the high tech of PowerPoint. Huber just kept jumping back and forth between law and order and busing. And he was just moving up and down. He was never moving closer to the voter. Whereas Huber, if he would have talked about something as simple as taxes, he would have come closer to the voter and even closer than Blanchard ended up coming. There's something in marketing, and I've become pretty steeped in marketing in the last year working with these folks, and it's called segmentation of the market. If they would have went through and if they would have broke the voter out into Republicans and out into Democrats, they would have been able to figure out even more what kind of topics they would have to deliver to the voter in order to bring Blanchard closer. So if they broke them out into Republicans and Democrats, and if they would have said, okay, Blanchard, at this point in time, start talking about taxes, he would have been come closer to the Democrats here. So in summary, there's four aspects that you can use perceptual mapping for. You can use it for simple observation, like we did there with the original mapping, to have a mental, you know, to understand the mental associations that people are making in a space full of attributes. You can do mathematical modeling, which is that nasty vector stuff, but it's very important if you wanted to come up with a message and figure out the strength of your message and how do you get there. That's what you would use that for. Message design. This is where it came in place where Blanchard was told to talk about, I'm a Democrat, I'm for law and order. That's how we would use this information to figure out how to bring concepts closer together in space. And then finally, tracking. That's where we would do serial surveying of a population in order to see how they change over time. Next slide, please. So let's get back to my perceptual maps around our case management survey. As you may remember, we were interested in understanding how the case managers felt about the medical providers, how they felt about the clients, how they felt about being involved in their clients' medical care, and finally, about health literacy. All right, this can be kind of scary when you're first looking at this. So I'm going to take a moment to just orient us towards this. And I also want to let you know that if anybody's interested, I have copies of these maps up here on paper we could take a look at, and I have a lot more of them. If you're interested in the contact information for the folks at Temple, I'd be more than happy to give that to you also. And then finally, I only brought one copy of our survey, but I'm more than willing to email it to you if you're interested. So these are the case manager's response to their perception of the medical providers. Now, this can play funny tricks on you when you're looking at it. It's like one of those magic eye games. This right here is the very back corner of this cube, and right here is the very front, and this is the floor. So that kind of helps you orient. And these here are the sides of the map. You'll find that the collective self, or the collective case manager, is located right here, and you'll find that these circles illustrate concepts that the case managers held quite close together. As I said earlier, the closer something someone holds to themselves, the closer it's going to be on the map. And the closer that the self relates concepts or attributes, the closer they'll appear in space. So as you'll see here, there are three groups of concepts that the case managers held closely together. And this one over here, nobody can read it, so I have to look on my notes here. How knowledgeable the medical providers were around HIV services, and then also how much concern they showed for their clients' health. Over in this group, the case managers grouped together the concepts of showing respect, the medical providers showing respect to the case managers, being energetic in their interactions with the clients, and also were the medical providers aware of the psychosocial issues of the clients. And then finally, over here are the medical providers accepting you as part of the team, medical providers respecting what you have to say and contribute, and then finally, do they cooperate with you when you request information? So from this map, we see that the case managers felt these concepts were pretty far away from them, although they did clump these further together. And right here, the only concept that they rated fairly close to themselves was actually knowing the medical provider. Next slide. This is a pretty interesting map here. Let me turn over here. This is where we asked the case managers how they felt about the clients. And you'll notice first and foremost, this is the back corner, and this is the floor here, that the case managers are much closer to these concepts here, and much further away from these concepts here. And these are the concepts that were negative about the clients, that the clients don't want me as part of their medical care. They don't want me to work with them to reach their goals of their service care plan. So in this way, this was a good thing, that the case managers had pretty high views of the clients. And the items that were the closest to the case manager was that the clients understand their HIV and their role in case management. Next slide. This is a super messy map, but this is my favorite map. This is the one that actually gets into where we're going to actually move forward with how we're going to develop case management. These are the ones where we ask the case managers how they actually felt their role was in medical care. And you'll see right here is the case manager. Over here is a group of concepts, and over here is a group of concepts. And it's interesting. Over here are the concepts that are much more theoretical. I motivate, I assess. But then, actually, how do you do those things are over here. These are the more practical things. I attend visits with my clients. I schedule the medical appointments. I use pictures when talking about medicines. So in the case manager's head, they were holding these concepts very dissimilarly. They were not seeing them close together. So as we move forward, when we're developing our messaging, we're going to start relating the concepts of the theoretical very much closer to the practical. And we're hoping to see over time that these two issues will kind of merge together like we saw with Blanchard, and we'll see them becoming closer to the case manager right in front of them. This was health literacy. From our health literacy, we found that here's the self, the collective self. They find it very important to assess all their clients. They find it very important, but very far away from that was the idea of using a standardized tool. And we know that you can't really assess health literacy unless you're really using a standardized tool. Next. So in summary, we did look at our demographics and we looked at our clinic-based case managers versus our non-clinic-based case managers. And in general, they had very similar views on all these different things. They had very positive views of both the medical providers and the clients. And then they found that they were very mixed around the level of participation that they wanted to have in their clients' medical care and their perception of their clients wanting them to be involved. Next. The case managers rated themselves very highly on things, the doing things, but they rated them more of these theoretical things, the I assess, I motivate it, but rate themselves lower on the actual practical things, using pictures, showing, asking the client, let me see your medication bottles to see how much of your medication you've taken. We also, like I said, found that there was very little difference between our clinic and non-clinic case managers. Our clinic case managers made little final discriminations. Next slide. And we did find, you know, that they rated them higher. And you can go to the last slide. Next steps. We are incorporating this information into our standards, our roles and responsibilities, so it's not only anymore about I assess or completing your intake. What are you actually doing that with that information? We've talked about we're having policies and procedures around health literacy, around actually using tools for health literacy. And where this information is most importantly going to come into play is when we develop our training. We see our training kind of like a mass social marketing campaign, and through that process, we're able to deliver messages. So we're able to deliver the concepts of the theoretical things you do in case management are very related to these practical items. So you assess. How do you assess? You talk to your clients about barriers. What do you do to remove those barriers? And then finally, we're also developing, and we're going to be working with the folks up at Temple to do a survey of the actual case management clients themselves. And what we're hoping to do is we're going to use very similar questions and then do kind of like overlays of what the case managers had to say and what the clients had to say and see if those things match up. So if the case managers feel like I'm doing X, Y, and Z, but then see how the actual clients are responding to those pieces also. Last slide. I just want to say nobody's in the room that I'm worked with on this project, but I really appreciate the folks from Temple. They were really great and easy to work with. They took these very complex topics and brought them down to the level at which we can use them. And I also want to just thank you guys for showing up today and making all of us feel like we had some important stuff to say. Thanks.